Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Count Dropout among the latest services you can catch on a smart television set or TV connected device at a charge. Chief Creative Officer Sam Rice joins me next, and both of us will connect with Katie Maravich, creator and star of the new original Dropout attraction, Kingpin Katie. A pair of boyhood friends have come up with Facebook Watch's first adult tune. Human Discoveries begins July 16th, and it depicts a far side of cave people. In our next half hour, we'll hear creators Chris Bruno and David Howard Lee. And ABC presents the latest chapter of Miami Beach-based drama Grand Hotel tonight. Producer and showrunner Brian Tannen pays a visit to our audio abode next hour. Also ahead, a ratings record for the U.S. women's soccer team, Mandela Television, our new classic trivia winner, and a new trivia question and prize in play. So stay with us. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, fellow casting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Trust you had a wonderful July 4th holiday weekend, and welcome once again to the program All About Television. 2063, top of the hour here in the Big Apple. We have a great 9-minute show for you, a lot of great guests coming away from Hollywood and L.A., and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a phone call from you. Raise your voice, pick up the phone, and dial in at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. We have a chat room in business as well. It's Simon Apple 041A. We already have a person already in the room. So use that chat room or use the phone. Either way, we will get you involved. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow those instructions, and other people will be live with you. Our hero from Dropout will join us live from West Hollywood after these news notes. Yesterday's Women's World Cup final win by the U.S. team that was 2-0 over the Netherlands scored a TV triumph as well. Fox's presentation of the game drew about 15 million viewers, making it the highest-rated U.S. TV soccer match since 2015. By contrast, viewership was up 20% from the Men's World Cup final last summer. That was France versus Croatia, which picked up 12.5 million viewers. Spanish language viewership via Telemundo was not available as of this afternoon. If the Obamas can get into the TV-making universe, so can the family of former South African president and world icon Nelson Mandela. Family members will unite with TV and film producer Michael Sugar and ad agency DNA United to develop Mandela Media. The venture will organize content on matters critical to Mandela's work, such as crusading for human rights and social justice. Sugar's own enterprise, Sugar 23, produces such series as The Nick for HBO and Maniac and the OA on Netflix. And more than 40 original Christmas-themed movies will premiere on Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movies and Mysteries between October 25th and the end of 2019. Hallmark Channel will offer a sneak preview special hosted by Lacey Chabert this Saturday night. And that is news notes for today. If you've been a regular listener to this program, you know that over the last 12, 15, 18 months, we've been highlighting a variety of new programming services you can get primarily or exclusively through your smart television set or smart TV device. Services such as PassionFlix, Bizversity, the Stage Network, the Fantasy Network, Dust, and many, many more. Well, we got another one for you today. It's Dropout. So folks at College Humor, the IAC Interactive Corp website, is now getting into original video programming, and it's available by subscription. And they have been on a tear of late with a lot of original new shows, two of which we will focus on today. One is called Dimension 20, and the other, featuring one of our guests, is called Kingpin Katie. It premiered last month. Joining us live from Los Angeles, West Hollywood to be specific, the Chief Creative Officer of College Humor and Dropout, Sam Rice. Sam, welcome in.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure. And joining both of us also by your side in West Hollywood is the creator and star, as I said, of one of the newest shows on Dropout, Kingpin Katie. Think of it as a mix of Breaking Bad and the new Hulu hit show, Katie Maravich. Hi, Katie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Sam, how did College Humor decide let's do a video service like Dropout?
You know, it's a good question. We came out here about 5 years ago as College Humor to get into the TV game. We were producing shows for networks for a while, the most successful of which is probably Adam Ruins Everything on True TV. And at a certain point, we asked our parent company, and they asked us, if we shouldn't be in the business of making these shows for ourselves. You know, when you're making television for a network, you're often essentially like giving the show away. You're giving away a lot of the creative decision making. You're giving away the intellectual property. It was a gamble, certainly, you know, millions of dollars worth of a gamble. But we launched this past October, and believe it or not, so far it's going really well.
So by 9 months in, how's the gamble paid off?
Well, my corporate mothership will not allow me to give you specifics, but I can say, you know, when we started this, it was at the tail end of, you know, CISO not working out for NBC and Full Screen not working out. And we weren't counting our chickens. You know, we knew that this would be an uphill battle. But pretty much immediately, we saw indicators that this was going to go better for us than expectation. We launched with an announcement video, which was direct to our audience, where, you know, we explained that we were doing this in order to create the kind of shows that we want to make, you know, shows that did some creative risk-taking, and shows that, you know, weren't by any means conventional and that were direct to the College Humor audience, and that we were going to ask them to pay for it. And believe it or not, the audience understood where we were coming from. You know, we saw in the reception of that video a lot of kind of people who appreciated the decision and understood why we would move in that direction. And so, you know, we're on track to hit our end of year goals, I can say now, and, you know, July of this year. We've got a lot of programming teed up between now and the end of the year, and it's an exciting time.
Well, Katie, for you, it's really an exciting time because you're about a month into your run of Kingpin. Katie, how did your show happen?
It's actually kind of a funny story. It originated as a throwaway joke in a sketch back in 2016. And basically it was just me. Sorry, this is inappropriate, but it was just me saying that I was using cocaine. And basically it caught on really well with the audience, and to the point where, like, anytime I'd post a picture on Instagram or anything on Twitter, like, people would be asking me about it. So I like to say we kind of got, like, bullied into making the show because people liked the concept so much.
Yeah, Katie is a kind of character who, you know, who Katie is as a person and also the character she plays on College Humor. It's very unlikely that she would be swept up in anything to do with the illegal drug industry.
Yes, I'm very nerdy. Sam's being polite.
And so this is kind of a fish out of water thing. The humor comes a lot from, you know, basically, what if Katie was the star of Breaking Bad, was our creative leaping off point. And we knew the audience would be on board for it because they had essentially been making these same jokes for months before we even put writers in a writer's room.
Yeah.
But I understand, Katie, that this is also not just a parody of Breaking Bad, your character in this series, but it's also been on Shrill, which is a big hit for Hulu, which is sort of a fish trying to be comfortable with their own skin.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. I think that one thing that we wanted to kind of focus on was, like, a woman entering a field that's male-dominated, even if it's, like, you know, an illegal field selling drugs and becoming a drug kingpin. It's still interesting to see, like, a woman in that world, especially, like, someone who's just, like, nerdy and so, like, you just would not suspect that I'd have anything to do with it.
And Sam, how did Katie's show come your way? Was there some tinkering with the format before putting it on last month? Should she look at going elsewhere? How did it sort of come to you?
Yeah, you know, we have a unique process for developing shows as College Humor, given how we're uniquely structured as a company. So we have a sort of ensemble cast like Saturday Night Live does, people who are, you know, writing and essentially being the creative producers and starring in their own stuff. Given that model, you know, when we launched Dropout, we weren't trying to reinvent the wheel. We essentially embraced a model where people would develop their own shows in-house, meaning sort of imagine as if, you know, Saturday Night Live and 30 Rock and Coneheads and Wayne's World were all on the same platform. You know, it's sketch comedy featuring these people, and it's also their comedy passion projects. Kingpin Katie originated as like a half of an idea in an unrelated writing room. And I sort of seized on it as something that I thought was really interesting. You know, we hadn't done anything in the action space on the platform or anything in the sort of like, you know, law and order type space, meaning literally Law and Order, also meaning The Wire, also meaning Breaking Bad. And, you know, this particular spin on it, which is kind of like a, I mean, it's weird to say this because what we're talking about is an illegal and very problematic industry, but it's sort of a feminist spin on that genre was just immediately struck me as something that we had never seen before. You know, in the show, Katie partners up with a dirty cop played by Betsy Sodaro, who's an incredibly, incredibly funny. And their whole relationship is sort of founded on this premise of like, what if we as women did the bad guy thing?
Yeah, she wants to be like a dirty cop. That's how we kind of like hook up.
And so we developed it internally. It was myself and Katie and a writer's room that consisted of three or four other people who essentially broke the story for the show over the course of, I think it was like 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
There was one episode in particular that was so hard to crack that we spent an entire week on it, and then handed the story off to Katie and another very talented writer that we have on staff, Jess Ross, and they crafted it entirely by themselves.
We're talking about Dropout. It's the brand new service, or actually fairly brand new service from College Humor, one of the growing number of services that are available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices primarily or exclusively. And we've got the Chief Creative Officer of Dropout, that's Sam Reich, and Katie Marvish from Kingpin Katie, whose latest episode premieres tonight on the service, and they're both with us live from West Hollywood this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Coming up, I'm with you from the other coast, that's New York, where it's 76 degrees top of the hour, much less humid than it was over this past 4th of July holiday weekend. If you have a question or comment for our guests, don't be shy. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. If you missed our episodes in the first half of 2019, and they've been a lot of good ones for you, why don't you go to our homepage when you get a chance, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Or check out the podcast version. It's also available 24/7. You'll find it at Apple TV, the Spreaker podcast app, iTunes, and iHeartRadio's podcast network. If you go to iHeartRadio's website, it's www.iHeartRadio.com. Go put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you will get our episodes. Katie, how did you fashion the character of Kingpin Katie? And I'm also wondering if you used anything from Queen of the South, the USA Network series been on for 3 or 4 seasons, which also deals with a female drug kingpin.
Okay. So the character, I think, is just like an exaggerated version of me, which we've seen in like a lot of the sketches already. So it kind of was the character was kind of already created for us. We didn't really create something new there. It was just me.
Yeah, of any College Humor cast member, I think the character of Katie is probably closest to Katie the person.
Yes.
It's actually a long monologue that one of the drug dealers goes on that we put in the trailer for the show, in which he's describing having seen Katie at a club and describes her as, how does he describe you?
Praying mantis woman.
A praying mantis woman.
Has lupus, great anxiety, just all the things.
Insomnia.
That make me up. Yeah.
Katie began in another department at our company, and it was her kind of bringing her own unique sensibility and her character, herself really, to the table that was the sort of like origin story of the sketches she was doing for the channel. And this is sort of a natural extension of that. So from Katie the person to sketches about Katie the person to a show about Katie the person in this unlikely scenario.
Yeah.
And it also sounds like she's a bit of a Stan Lee Marvel-like superhero, you know, somebody who's got superpowers and super ambitions, but she's also got very human concerns.
Yes, I'm definitely like a superhero. I think we can all agree.
There are some episodes, particularly later in the season, as Katie starts to get more power and sort of become the real bad guy version of herself, and when she does some pretty remarkable action scenes and action moves.
Yeah, that's to come. Those were definitely my favorite to film. I got to do, like, actual stunts, and it was awesome.
You even had a stunt double.
I did. Yeah, she was fantastic. She does, like, a flip off a wall. It's really cool. I'm excited for those episodes to come out.
And they're coming up later this month, because the original episodes for this first season end, I think, July 26th, July 27th.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Katie, but the episode that's airing this week is the one that took us so long to crack in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Katie's final confrontation, or this sort of climactic confrontation with who's been her boss in the drug world to date. And it was a very hard episode to crack, because we knew we had to get Katie from a point A to a point B in this episode. But we didn't know how we were going to do it, and it took us a full week of strategizing in order to get there.
Yes, and also preserving kind of the character. You want to still make her likable, and there were just like a bunch of challenges that we faced with this episode that premieres today.
So stuff's going to go down.
Yeah. Sarah, as far as the service drop as concerned, how much of it is content made for the service? How much is library, you know, stuff we've seen from elsewhere, whether it's stand-up specials or sketch comedy,
sure,
things like that?
Yeah, you know, when we launched, look, if you're going to do syndication, right, if you're going to take content from elsewhere and put it on your platform, that's a big business and it's a big investment. There's a lot of platforms that make the decision to do that because the feeling is, in order to keep users on the platform, you need like a depth of content there. Our feeling was like, as more and more of these services launch, big libraries of content become more ubiquitous and less valuable, meaning you can get the show Parks and Recreation on like 8 different platforms today. And we made a bet that original content was going to be what moved the needle for us, and that's what we wanted to invest in. So there's really 3 types of content on the platform today, but they all come from us in one way or another. The first is the College Humor Library, which, you know, we've been making videos now for the last 13 years. Believe it or not, that's as long as I've been a part of the company. All of those short-form videos are on the platform. The second is these unique non-video formats that we've experimented with, comics and chat stories. You'll see comics on platforms like Marvel's. You'll see chat stories on platforms like Yarn and Wattpad. And then finally, it's the exclusive original series, you know, Dropout exclusives. And really, it's the exclusives that have moved the needle for us. It's really what our data shows is bringing people into the platform and keeping them there.
Let's talk about one of those exclusives, one that you've been pretty involved in called Dimension 20. I understand it's a role-playing comedy. How do you define that?
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing because it's been kind of an education for me as well. So, you know, Dungeons & Dragons and role-playing games in general are having a major resurgence right now. There are a few examples of shows that are really, really big in that space where you're essentially watching people play those games. One of them is Harmon Quest, which began on CISO, is right now on Verve. The other is Critical Role, which began as a part of Nerdist / Geek & Sundry and is now sort of broken off and doing its own thing. And in both those cases, you have, in the case of Harmon Quest, it's comedians, but it's a very light version of the game. Dungeons and Dragons. In the case of Critical Role, it's one long campaign that's been going on for years and years. And I think the reason why people respond to this format is that it's everything that you would get in a television show, but it's improvised. And there's something really magical about that, about seeing character development and story crafted, but it's all kind of happening in real time, you know, with the guiding hand of the Dungeon Master sort of moving it in the right direction. The Dungeon Master or Game Master is sort of an MC of sorts. And we created our own version of that show, which essentially takes the game and turns it on its head, excuse me, in order so that instead of doing a traditional game where you might see like elves and witches and warlocks, we set our first season in a high school. So we had, you know, a goblin going through puberty. We had these characters who were like, if you took the game and you transposed it onto The Breakfast Club or a John Hughes movie. And I think people found the characters incredibly relatable in some ways and really fantastical in another. And those ingredients having come together, not to mention our game master, Brendan Lee Mulligan, who I would venture to say is the most talented game master alive. And this is just his first chance to sort of strut his stuff on a major platform, has made for a hit show. The fandom is extraordinary. We just sold out a 400-seat venue in Brooklyn, and I mean these performers, these improvisers, were treated like rock gods by that audience.
Dropout is one of the growing number of services that are available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, primarily and in many cases exclusively, in many cases by independent companies like IAC, the Interactive Corp company founded by Barry Diller. And College Humor is the folks who make Dropout happen. We've got the Chief Creative Officer of College Humor, Sam Rice, with us. Also, Katie Mavich. She is the creator and star of one of the new attractions on that service called Kingpin Katie. And you can catch the latest episode tonight on your smart TV set or smart TV device if you have Dropout for a price. Both of them are with us live. We have a few more minutes to go with them. Live from West Hollywood, California, right here this half hour on Smart TV Televised. Happy year aboard. I hope you had a wonderful July 4th Independence Day weekend. Simon Appel with you live from New York. We're kicking off this week with 78 degrees at the top of the hour, 76 degrees at the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment on remaining minutes with our 2-0, well, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. And coming up on Friday, Smart TV Televised, we are trying, third time a charmer, to have with us the costume designer behind the new Netflix hit Dead to Me, Trace Field. And we'll keep you posted after the week if we have it. That's Trace Field, we hope. Keep your fingers crossed, third time charmer right here on Tawabi Televised. And stay tuned, next half hour, in addition to our guests, we've got our classic trivia question of the week. We have a winner. We'll tell you what that winning answer is. We have a brand new question and a brand new prize in play. So stay tuned. Get the pens and pencils ready. You might be our next trivia winner. How is the feedback from Dropout determining for you and your colleague, Sam, what you will do next, what original content you'll do next?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, this initial phase of programming has really been mostly about experimentation and seeing what the audience responds to and doesn't respond to. I think, like, we've been surprised by the extent to which we don't know. Like, we launch a show, we have a hunch that the audience will like it. Whether or not they do and how many people it converts to the platform isn't just a matter of which shows appear sort of biggest or most expensive. It doesn't seem to be a matter of, like, length of episode. For instance, Dimension 20 has episodes that are 90 minutes long, which is, like, as long as a feature film, whereas Kingpin Katie has episodes that are in the 10 to 15-minute range, or sometimes skewing a little bit longer. That doesn't seem to be a matter, or that doesn't seem to dictate whether or not people respond to the programming. It's a little bit more just, does this show carry the magic to it? So feedback will dictate entirely what programming of ours gets a second season or a third season. But in first seasons, we're trying to be experimental and nimble and do a lot of stuff that we imagine the audience will like and then simply see where the chips fall. Dimension 20 is an anthology series, right? So Every episode takes place in its own world. The next season of Dimension 20 launches this week on the platform. First season was John Hughes. This season is New York City. I'd imagine sort of a fantasy New York City. And we'll see if people respond to that as well as they responded to the first season. But, you know, don't ever let any programmer tell you that you're not playing roulette. Absolutely are.
By the way, how much does Dropout cost subscribers? Is it a monthly fee, yearly fee, both? What is it?
It is a monthly fee of $4.99 per month, but you can also subscribe on an annual basis for $3.99 a month, meaning if you commit to us for a longer period of time, you pay less.
Yeah. Same remaining loans. What are some of the new attractions coming up between now and the end of the year? And are you looking at maybe interactive programming, the way that Netflix is now doing? Disney Channel is doing an interactive show called Just Roll With It, where the studio audience determines what happens next at various points in a plot line. Where do you see Dropout going?
Yeah, you know, we're definitely interested in interactive programming. We're not making, like, any hard bets on interactive right now as far as, like, our premiere programming is concerned. We are, on the other hand, going to soon be launching a Twitch channel. And as a part of that Twitch channel, we're going to take some of our franchises and do live versions of those franchises. The fact that they're live and the fact that there's an audience hanging out with us on Twitch means inevitably that there's a little bit more interaction that takes place there. So we're excited to see what happens. It'll be sort of our first big foray into live. And we think that there's a big audience there that we haven't yet captured that we're excited to speak to for the first time.
Katie, what's next for you? Working on a second season of Kingpin Katie or developing a different show for the coming months for Dropout?
Yeah, so recently I was on another series we have called Ultra Megatron, and I play basically part of this giant robot who saves the world. So that will be coming out soon. I've actually just before I came into this, saw a few clips, and it looks awesome. So.
Well, Dropout is available for you at a subscription monthly or annual fee, and you can get it on many smart TV sets and smart TV devices. On my part, by the way, you can get it on Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, on Roku, any TV set that is Android TV as an operating system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For more details about all of the programming on Dropout and College Humor Online, here's where you go, www.dropout.tv. That's www.dropout.tv. Dropout, produced by College Humor, a division of Interactive Corp, IAC. That's the company founded by Barry Diller. Sam Wright, the Chief Creative Officer, Katie Markovich of Kingpin Katie. Thank you both very much for coming on. Congratulations on getting the service off the ground the last 9 months, and hopefully many, many more original undertakings to come.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing such a good job marketing our platform. Appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome, Sam and Katie. Take care. Have a great week ahead.
Yeah, thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Sam Rice and Katie Markovich joining us live from Dropout from West Hollywood, California. More tomorrow to televise coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Do you know everything about Babe Ruth, one of the great heroes of baseball, and the New York Yankees in particular, especially as we get ready for the All-Star game, I believe it's tomorrow night on Fox? Well, there's a brand new original audio production you can get right now with a trial run to Audible.com that gives you the real scoop about the Sultan of SWAT. It's called Scoop Ball by Simon Rich. They have a terrific cast, and you can catch it right now with a trial run to Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider for spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Plenty of it. There's over 100,000 titles to choose from, including a growing number of Audible original titles. Everything from original productions to one-woman, one-man shows, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway and regional theater from around the country. And you can listen to any Audible production on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. Get 3 free audiobooks, 2 of them Audible originals, and a 1-month trial plus great customer service from the fine folks at Amazon.com, Audible's parent. And don't forget that Audible is a proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, back for another one later this year. So, Find out for yourself why Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Get a trio of great audiobooks and wonderful listening pleasure at audibletrial.com/televised. When we come back, our classic trio question winner, that answer, and a brand new question and prize in play. But first, back out to Hollywood we go, and we'll talk with two boyhood friends who have now come up with Facebook Watch's first ever adult animated show. For next Tuesday night, it's called Human Discoveries. Chris Bruno, David Howley, join me after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio and www.spreaker.com. Together, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And tonight, they are live from Alaska with the Eagle's Nest Special. That's the Eagle's Nest Special, live from Alaska tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker.com. And remember, best of VCR and Spreaker available anytime you like on YouTube. Welcome back to the Marvel Televised 90 Minute Edition, kicking off your week. Simon Applebaum with you live from New Weather York. Again, it is 76 degrees at the top of the hour. We'll be guests coming your way in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be interactive with us. All it takes is a phone call from you, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple041. We have somebody in the room, so use the phone log in the room. Either way, we will get you into the middle of the action. And our next action takes place from two people who've known each other ever since childhood. And right now, they're about to see a creation of theirs happen on Facebook Watch. It is that service's first ever animated adult tune, and it premieres a week from tomorrow, called Human Discoveries. You might say it's an interesting update on It's About Time. Remember that TV series in the 1960s? No, It's About Time. It's about space, about two men in the strangest place. It goes quite a bit beyond that. And again, it's Facebook Watch's first animated adult tune, available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Joining us live from Hollywood, the creators of this series, Chris Bruno and David Howard Lee. Chris and David, thanks for coming on.
Hey, Simon, how are you? Great to hear you.
Very fine. Thank you to you both. Chris, we'll start with you. What kind of journey was it to get Human Discoveries on?
Well, we had started out with a few shorts that we'd written years ago, and Dave and I wanted to come up with a way to talk about contemporary society, but in a funny way, you know, we're a little bit divided as a country right now, and everything is left and right, blue state, red state. And we wanted to talk about the country in a way that was funny, but maybe didn't have so many of those divisions involved in it. So we wrote some shorts, and we brought it to Shadow Machine, which is a company that does BoJack Horseman and Final Space and Tuca and Birdie. And Corey Campodonico, our producer, liked the shorts and the idea, and he said, let's go take this thing out. So we attached Zac Efron and Anna Kendrick early on in the process, developed the idea from there. And said, let's get some characters who think, talk, and act exactly the same way that we do, but throw them in a prehistoric setting and have some fun.
So, David, the prehistoric setting serves as a metaphor for what about our society?
Well, to us, it was the only way, really, that we thought we could break through the clutter and, you know, get away from all the things that taint contemporary society. So, like, how do you make fun of, for instance, Chris and I were at a concert the other night, and there was a guy standing next to us, this is Hollywood, so, you know, very eccentric. He was dressed like a 19th century pharmacist, right? He had the big overalls, the glasses, and it was really funny, but you look around and there's 25 other people dressed like that. It's really hard to make fun of the absurdity of today because today is really absurd. So we thought, oh, the only way we can do this really is to strip away everything we know about life with characters who don't know any better. So we had to go all the way back to the beginning of time and just use characters that kind of think, talk, and act like us.
Mm-hmm. Chris, are you and David conscious of the fact that by getting this program on Facebook Watch, you're pioneering a new direction for them? Because it's first of all, it's been a while since Facebook Watch has had an original series, particularly scripted, which they did very well with last year. So it's like Sacred Lives, Sorry for Your Loss, etc. But also, that you're pioneering a whole different format for them in terms of animation. This is, I believe, not just the first adult tune they've done. This is the first animated series they've done, period.
Yeah, and we're really excited to be the first ones out there. Dave and I are both huge fans of animation, period, and it was a pleasure to get to do it with Facebook Watch, but they've been hugely supportive partners of us so far. We've loved working with them, and we think it's going to be a great show for them to launch the animated series with on the platform.
David, when you and Chris were growing up as kids, did both of you want to be cartoonists? Did both of you want to enter the animation field?
I can't speak for Chris, but both of us definitely wanted to be creators. And I remember very vividly, it was career day in sixth grade. And you had, you know, obviously you had to pick a career you wanted to do. And you set up a little booth in the gymnasium, and the parents would come and kind of pretend to care what you were talking about, which is adorable. And I remember very vividly, I wanted to be a cartoonist. And I remember in sixth grade, I set up my little thing, and my little shtick was people could come up to the booth, and I would draw them live on the spot, right, like a caricature almost. And in hindsight, I can understand why my parents were so hesitant to the idea. It turns out I was terrible at drawing, like absolutely terrible. So I'm sure there was a lot of secondhand embarrassment. So, you know, how do Chris and I, who don't have, you know, drawing-wise, an artistic bone in our body, do something we love to do? And that's where the writing came in, and the creating and the producing. So, you know, we couldn't be more excited to get this out in the open, and next Tuesday can't come soon enough.
Yeah. Chris, did you have the same kind of career day experience that David had?
Well, I'll tell you, Simon, there's a time in every man's life where he realizes he's not going to play shortstop for the Yankees. And that came at the end of college, probably, a little bit later than usual.
Very early for us, yeah.
But, no, look, we've always loved television. We've always loved movies and animation, you know, whether it's The Simpsons or Family Guy or Rick and Morty. It's a genre that we love. And so when this opportunity came up to partner with Shadow Machine, who's made so many great animated shows, it was the perfect marriage for us. And, yeah, it's been really exciting, and it's the perfect job.
We're hearing Chris Brown and David Howard Lee. They are the creators of Human Discoveries. It's the brand new Facebook Watch animated series, the first ever in that arena, and it begins a week from tomorrow, 9:10 Eastern, 6:00 Pacific, on Facebook Watch. That's the programming service that they currently have on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place. Both of them join us live from Hollywood this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Happy Year Aboard on this Monday after the Independence Day weekend. Simon Appelbaum with you live from New Weber, York, the other coast, as you will. We're right now it is 76 degrees at the top of the hour. We'd love to hear from you. So give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. If you've just tuned in, stay tuned, because before the top of the hour, we will have our latest classic trivia question winner. We'll have the winning answer that we posed, question posed over the last 2 weeks. And we have a brand new question for you. And if you are the winning answer person, we have a neat prize for you. Think magnets connected to a brand new Discovery Channel miniseries premiering in a few weeks. Chris, in reading about Human Discoveries, I mentioned in the tease, I thought it's about time, but I also see a little bit of Friends in this too.
Of course. Yeah, that's one of our favorite shows of all time. And the relationship between the characters, you know, we want to have a lot of funny jokes, and we want the show to look good and be visually interesting. But the most important part of any show is great characters and the relationship between those characters. And so, again, having Zac Efron and Anna Kendrick anchor this cast is terrific. But then on top of that, we have Lisa Kudrow, Jillian Bell, Lamorne Morris, Ed Begley Jr., Paul Scheer. So we have a really fun cast of characters that we feel like is, in many ways, is an animated version of that Friends cast, to say nothing of having Lisa Kudrow in both of them.
We might have stolen Phoebe from Friends, yeah.
Yeah. So, David, when you got your cast together, what were the ground rules that you gave them in terms of how to play their characters? I mean, how did they deal with this prehistoric age where it seems that they're great when it comes to inventing things like the wheel or inventing fire, but not so great when it comes to some of the issues that you want to showcase?
Yeah, what we wanted to do is, you know, obviously we wanted to have a mix of, obviously, household names that you would know of. You know, we already talked about Zac Efron, Anna Kendrick, but when you get into the animated world, there are so many outrageously talented voice actors that can play so many parts that we wanted to bring those in as well. So we have James Adomian and people like that who just have a really storied career in animation. And I think across the board, what we gave our cast when talking about this is just be yourself. You know, have a really, really kind of blank page, open mind view of the subject matter we're talking about, because metaphorically, that's kind of what we're trying to say with this show is, you know, if people from around the world approached all these issues that our cast encounters, you know, things like the invention of sports, the invention of elections, the first funeral, things like that, you know, if everyone approached that with an open mind and a blank page mentality, I think people would come away with a very different experience. So when we were directing all the cast in the booth, it was just be yourself and attack each line like you're reading it for the first time.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned It's About Time, the classic one-season show from Gilligan's Island, the show with Schwartz on CBS back in the 1960s. The whole idea of that one was, originally it was about two astronauts who go back into time with their capsule and they show up in a prehistoric society and how they adjust. But then later on, in order to save the show, they flip the script and had it that the prehistoric family comes to modern-day New York City and tries to figure life there. I'm curious, you know, was This About Time a metaphor? And also, what about the modern age did you want to really showcase again in this series and use prehistoric as a motif?
It was really important for us to have a platform for us to talk about contemporary issues, whether it's things that are simple like relationships and monogamy or more complicated issues like gun control and immigration. We wanted a platform to talk about those things, but in a way that stripped away all of the politically charged elements that make them so, you know, it's hard for anybody to make a joke about immigration today or make any commentary about immigration because it's so divisive. It's so Democrat, Republican, left, right. And we wanted a way to talk about those things where immigration or a funeral or monogamy, all of these things came from somewhere. There was a first time that somebody said, I want to be in an exclusive relationship with you. And there was a first time that a new person came from somewhere else and said, I want to join your camp, even if it was just a camp of three people. And so we wanted to talk about those things in a way that was interesting and a little bit simpler than maybe today's discourse, which is so politically charged. And so setting it in that time, exactly the same way you're saying about It's About Time, which is taking people who don't know what we know today, but giving them the exact same issues and seeing how those people who don't have any existing information about it deal with it.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, even if you don't know the show It's About Time, everyone knows the theme song. It's like one of the great theme songs from a show that got canceled after, got the boot after a year. People still remember It's About Time, It's About Space, About 10 minutes, et cetera, et cetera. Chris, what kind of animation style did you and David use to showcase prehistoric time?
The most important thing for us was that the camp looked like it was a fun place to spend time. And so we wanted to use a lot of primary colors with characters who looked semi-human so that the stories that we, you know, the show itself is very grounded in terms of the storytelling and the issues we're tackling. And so we wanted it to look like a bright, inviting place that you wanted to spend time, much like you said, Friends or other shows like that, where it feels like it's a place that you want to be friends with these people. And so bright colors, inviting space, and in a place that felt like it was actually a human location.
Mm-hmm. And what about the characters themselves, David? Are they very Flintstone-y-like? Are they sort of offbeat? Or how relatable are they visually?
So I think our number one rule when we're going about the show is we don't want this to be a show about quote-unquote cavemen. These are people that we want to feel that are ripped right from your life. Like, you know the characters. They feel like your friends, right? So, you know, we want them to just kind of feel like a modern-day person who was dropped into a prehistoric setting. So, you know, we do have a big mastodon skull here and there in the background, but and the characters do wear pelts and things like that. But if you kind of stripped away what they're wearing and where they're sitting and what they're dealing with, you know, the way they talk and act feels like 2019, and that was really important to us.
And our producer will kill us if we don't mention that we do not have any birds that lower down to be the needle on a record player.
Yes.
There are none of those. We don't have people running around using their foot-powered automobiles. It's very grounded as what would life 10,000 years ago look like, and then applying that template to the whole show.
Okay, so we're not going to have William Hanna and Joseph America running out of their graves, the Hoyt Curtin, the music guy in that show, like, oh, my God, look at our creation, what's become. Chris, in terms of the animation, we did, 2 weeks ago we had R.J. Freed from Our Cartoon Prison that's currently running on Showtime, and he's making a show that's very, very current. In fact, it was so current that he actually did a short bit after the presidential, the first Democratic presidential debate, and got it on the air in time for the one of the latest episodes last Sunday. How current is the animation? Do you have to go that far in advance to put the episodes together, or if you needed to make a change to be more current, more topical in terms of your satire, were you able to make changes close to air date?
I would pay good money to find out how he got his show done that quickly. But no, we have a lot of really talented artists. Like I said, our production company, Shadow Machine, is outstanding. And, you know, we're able to turn episodes around as quickly as possible. You know, it's somewhere between 3 and 6 months from script to record, to getting our animation back, and then we have our post-production process. But, yeah, sure, if we had something that was 2 minutes long, we could turn it around quickly. But, you know, as I was saying before, character and scripts are the most important thing to us, and so we spend a lot of time on those things, making sure the stories are interesting and the characters are relatable, and so that we don't have to make a lot of changes to the animation by the time we're getting close to air date.
Yeah. David, working with the people who do BoJack Horseman on Netflix, which I think a lot of us agree is one of the best new animated shows in recent years, how much of the way that they showcase life in a particular setting, in this case Hollywood, with their famous horse, how much of that rub off on what you two did in bringing the your prehistoric world to life?
Well, I hope a lot because, you know, we obviously are huge fans of BoJack and, you know, just getting to share office space with them. And in a lot of cases, we share a lot of our animators as well. So, you know, there definitely is a great influence of BoJack as well as Tuca and Birdie going on just because there's literally 100 people over here at the offices who are working on all those shows who are just so talented, it's hard not to. You know, I hope people take away from this show that same feeling, you know, when you talk to someone about BoJack Horseman, you can tell their eyes light up. They go, oh, my God, you know, even people in Hollywood, oh, my God, they nail what it's like to be in Hollywood today. I hope people have the same feeling about our show, but not being about Hollywood, just, oh, my God, they nail what it's like to be involved in a debate about anything from politics to sexuality to all those things in between. So just that feeling you get from watching BoJack, I hope we can elicit the same feeling.
David, what did you do in terms of original music? Did you have a composer do all your scoring, or did you, basically take other music and try or songs and try to inject them in various episodes?
Well, you know, Chris and I are huge music fans, and so there was a part of us when we first started this process that said, oh, you know, these music cues are going to be so important for the show. We got to license all this original music. And then as we got down the road a little bit in the creative process, we kind of realized that, you know, if you have like a Drake song all of a sudden start playing in the middle of our show, it might take viewers out of it a little bit. You know, this is a prehistoric show. It might just kind of clash with the time. So we hired, his name's Jake Monaco. He's an incredible, incredible composer who does pretty much a one-man show, who has been, far exceeding our expectations on the show, making music that sounds really, really hip and modern, but also that feels right for the prehistoric time. Can't say enough about him as a composer.
We're speaking with the folks behind Human Discoveries. It's Facebook Watch's newest original scripted and first-ever animated series, and it premieres a week from tomorrow night, July 16th, 9:10 Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. That's creators Chris Bruno and David Howard Lee. They're both live from Hollywood this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Ambon with you live from Nueva York. Happy to have you aboard. And if you have a question or comment or maintenance with our duo, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple, 04 Min. Don't forget, coming up in a few minutes, we have our classic trivia segment, we have a new winner, we've got that winning answer, and we have a brand new question for you with a new prize in play. And then after the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Brian Tannen, the producer and showrunner of one of the new hit shows of this summer on Broadcast Network Television, Grand Hotel, from Emma LaGloria on ABC. Brian Tannen from Grand Hotel, live exclusive with us next half hour. Do not miss. Chris, who are some of your, and I'll ask David this in a second, who are some of your role models in terms of animation or animated shows?
We're first and foremost huge BoJack fans, and we occasionally get to wave to Raphael as he walks past us, Raphael Bob Waxberg, the creator, because he's here in the hallways. But we're huge BoJack fans. And of course The Simpsons, and then Rick and Morty is a big influence for us. That show is terrific. And I actually had an opportunity when I was younger and I was an assistant, I got to work on Ted, A Million Ways to Die in the West, and Ted 2 with Seth MacFarlane, who's as talented as they come and is a really great guy and is a huge inspiration for both of us.
Yeah, David, how about you aside from BoJack?
I grew up, I know, I think probably like every other single kid who was my age, The Simpsons was such a big influence on me growing up. It was that show, it was one of the only shows that I would tune into. It was kind of appointment viewing for me. And I remember in high school or maybe middle school, it clicked that The Simpsons wasn't just magically made. There were people who wrote that. There were people who created and wrote it and designed it. And it was right around then that I said, oh, my God, I have to do that. So, you know, that there are a lot of Simpsons episodes right now that are 20 years old that you go back and watch now are just as poignant now as they were back then. And we're kind of hoping that with human discoveries, the topics we talk about and the things, the way we talk about them are just as timeless.
By the way, in The Simpsons, there are a number of recurring gags that have become classics. You know, Bart writing on the blackboard, the catch gag, even the tune that he plays, that Lisa plays with the Danny Elfman theme music in that opening sequence. Any recurring gags that you have?
Well, there's a few that we do that are very, very small in flight that I hope some close viewers of the program will pick up on. But one big one, which is kind of built into the structure of the show, is we have two elk who are called Judy and William Elk. Judy Elk is, of course, voiced by Lisa Kudrow. They essentially act as the Greek chorus of the audience, basically watching humans from afar, and they're watching humans kind of eat them, use their skins for fur, and they're kind of the, wow, why are humans so destructive? Like, why aren't they understanding what they're doing to the environment? Things like that. Every week and every episode, we have a new leader elk who comes in and basically has a new plan on how to deal with the humans. Now, sometimes it's with aggression, like let's go fight them. Sometimes it's with maybe we should be friends with them. But at the end of every single episode, not to spoil anything, the leader elk meets his demise. So we were, which is really funny comedically, but also it gave us an incredible opportunity to kind of stunt cast every single episode a new leader elk. I mean, we got the people we were able to get were amazing. We have Ben Schwartz, Allison Janney plays a character at the end of the season. It was truly incredible to work with some of our comedy heroes and icons, essentially because it was a running joke.
By the way, we have a viewer, a listener now in our chat room again, SimonApple04 by name. So welcome aboard if you just joined us. And if you have a question or comment, put it in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. Chris, if you and David get a second season Facebook Watch, where do you want to take your series?
We want to push the envelope even further. There are more than a few topics we have not yet gotten a chance to take advantage of. And so, like I said, we did some of the big hot-button issues like immigration and gun control and monogamy. But you'll notice a little Easter egg. We don't use the word love at all in the first season, and that's because the concept of love has not been yet invented. And so we'd love to take that Zach and Anna relationship and push it a little bit further and see what it looks like for the first time two human beings actually fall in love and say, this is something more special than just the two of us spending time together.
Mm-hmm. And David, any final thoughts from you?
Well, we're just so proud of the show. Chris and I have known each other since we're 6 years old, so to get to come to work together every day and create something that I hope people will love has been a lifelong dream. And to get to work with people who I've been watching since I was a kid, I mean, it's been a really special experience, and I just want to really thank the people over at Facebook Watch. You know, when you go into a series like this, you know, I think as you probably know, Simon, the tale is as old as time. Creator is always butting heads with studio executives. You know, we didn't know what to expect when we came to Facebook, and I can't overstate how creatively great they've been to work with. I mean, they've had incredible notes, very insightful comments. You know, I don't have one complaint. They've been fantastic. So it's been a ride, and I hope the ride continues.
And the ride of Human Discovery begins a week from tomorrow. That's Tuesday, July 16th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Facebook Watch. It's available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And for more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.facebook.com/Human Discoveries Show. That's www.facebook.com/Human Discoveries Show or www.facebook.com/watch. Either way, you'll get the details about the show online. Once again, on Facebook Watch, Human Discoveries premieres a week from tomorrow, 9, 10 Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Chris, Bruno and David Howard-Lee, Courier of the Show. Thank you both again for joining us. Good luck with the series, hopefully beginning of a great, great run, not just for your series, but also for Facebook Watch's work in the area of animation.
Thank you so much, Simon, and congratulations on 12 years. Fantastic stuff.
Thank you very much, Chris and Bruno. We crossed that barrier in August, and we really appreciate the thoughts. Thank you so much. Take care, both of you. Have a great week.
Thanks, Simon.
Chris Bruno and David Howard-Lee joining us live from Hollywood. Now time for our classic trivia question segment. First of all, for the first time in several weeks, we have a winner. And that winner is Rick Howe from Darlington, Maryland. He's a former Showtime executive. And you sometimes see him every now and then in New York, LA, other places, on the trade show trail as either a panelist or a moderator of all things interactive television. And he came up with a question, or should say the answer, to the question we posed the last couple of weeks, which is this. Name the 1981 NBC dramedy starring the Smothers Brother. The answer, Fitz and Bones. Fitz and Bones, where the brothers played reporters, I believe, at a television station. The show only ran 5 episodes in the fall of 1981, and it was the only time the Smothers Brothers ever did a dramatic series or a dramedy. So once again, the answer is Fitz and Bones. That was the answer to our class trivia question. Rick Howe of Dogs Marion Guide, he's getting a new book, Identify Yourself, A Journey in Bleep Your Creative Courage, by the creator of Nightfly, who was on this program several weeks ago, Stuart Shapiro. So Rick, the book is on your way tomorrow morning in the mail. Thank you so much for playing. Now, time for our new classic trivia question. And if you're first with the correct answer, you can win a pair of magnet sets from the brand new Discovery miniseries Serengeti. It's getting a lot of advanced press. A lot of people think it's going to be one of the best documentary series of the summer on the network. And a pair of magnet sets can be yours if you know the answer to the following question. Let's set the scene. In the late 1950s, the late 1960s, Sunday afternoons into early evenings was a very special time for television. 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern or Pacific time, you had all sorts of shows come on. Everything from original comedies and dramas like Mr. Ed and Lassie. There were kid shows. There were special documentary series like the 20th and then the 21st century. There was game shows like the GE College Bowl and variety shows like Ted Mack and the original Amateur Hour. Well, one of our unusual comedies in 1962 on NBC was called McKeever and the Colonel, released by 4-Star. And it featured a child named McKeever, who is a cadet at an all-boys military academy, and the misadventures he got into with his comrades, and more importantly, with the colonel, played by Alan Joplin. Here's the question. Who played McKeever? Who played McKeever on NBC's McKeever and the Colonel? Yes, it's our second straight question involving an NBC series. So once again, the question, who played McKeever on McKeever and the Colonel? Lasted 1 year from 1962 to 1963. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and your full name address. And if you're first to the correct answer, you will win a pair of magnet sets, very nice looking, from the new Discovery miniseries Serengeti that will be premiering in a few weeks. And if you missed the question a moment ago, we'll try to repeat it before the end of the show. If not, we will have it for you tomorrow morning on Facebook and on my Twitter page at UBT Simon TWBT. That's at UBT Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, just like Rick Howe of Darlington, Maryland did, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We are the promo about the tube. This is our final month of our 12th year on the air. We start year 13, first Monday of August. And we're happy to have you aboard, wherever you're catching us live on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Don't forget, if you want to catch up on any of our episodes of the first half of 2019, and all you have to do is go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Or check out the podcast version. That's available to you 24/7 on iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, and www.iHeartRadio.com. When we come back, we will have the producer and showrunner of one of the hot new shows on TV this year on ABC. It's on tonight with its latest episode, The Eagle and Gloria headlining Grand Hotel. Producer and showrunner Brian Tannen joins me live from L.A. exclusively after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet. www.blogtalkradio.com and www.spreaker.com. You're home for the best internet radio 24/7. BTR Spreaker, your home for the Rowdy Nightlife Show. check it out. They have a lot of sports to cover. I'm sure they'll have a lot to say about everything from NBA Summer League basketball to baseball, home run derby, and the All-Star game happening later this weekend. Of course, the U.S. women's team winning the Women's World Cup yesterday. Catch the Rowdy Maglite Show tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. They also got NASCAR coverage, too, by the way. And tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget the best of both websites, 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Larry Tell Live on this Monday afternoon of July 2019. And welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Appbaum with you live from New York. 36 degrees here in New Web, New York. Much less humid than it was over the July 4th holiday weekend. Hope you had a great one. And happy you're with us for this latest episode of the program on Live Talk. We have a wonderful guest coming your way in the half hour ahead. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's very simple. Get interactive with us. Just ring the phone at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio Speaker. If you're shy about using the phone, we got a chat room for you, and you can put your thoughts in that way. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Simon Apple 04, the chat room name. It has been a very big summer for ABC so far. Their expansion of summer fun and games from one night a week to three has been fantastic in the ratings. Press Your Luck, Card Sharks, Holy Moly, Family Food Fight, number one, number two in the time period so far. And the pièce de résistance when it comes to dramatic television is a new Monday night series called Grand Hotel, headed by Ava Longoria, Behind the Scenes. Our next guest is the producer and showrunner of the program, and he joins us live from Los Angeles. To put that with us in an interview exclusive, Brian Tannen. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you doing?
Very, very fine, thank you. And your folks are doing great. Grand Hotel winning the time period. It seems the critics in particular have really taken on to the show.
Yeah, we're thrilled with the response to the show. Tonight is our fourth episode is airing tonight on ABC.
And the thing that the critics have picked up on, Brian, that they don't, and when it comes to a lot of similar shows that deal with the Sun and Fun Capital of the World, Miami Beach, or shows that may come across in whatever location is as soapy, is that while it may come across to some people as this is soap, it really isn't. And secondly, they picked up on that, but also on the fact about how some of the characters are treated, particularly the characters in the hotel itself.
Yeah, so, I mean, the show has a lot going on, a little bit of everything for everybody. So certainly it has a soapy quality in that it's, you know, it's sexy and it's in this beautiful location and there's tons of juicy twists and turns. But it's also based on this Spanish language series from Spain, which was a murder mystery set at the turn of the century. So it's got these roots in this very premier drama from Spain, which was really about the upstairs, downstairs feel of a hotel and this murder mystery at the center of it. And we've borrowed a lot of that DNA and put it in here. So the show is, it's both a soap, it's a mystery, and then it's got all this sort of upstairs, downstairs, sort of Downton Abbey modernized for the current climate. So it's a little bit of something for everyone.
And also it seems to be less stereotypy as well as soapy. And I understand it's something that you and Ava Longoria and a lot of people involved in the production show wanted. They wanted realistic characters. They did not want this to be stereotypes, either upstairs or downstairs.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I had just come from working on Devious Maids, which was a really fun show, and it had the opportunity to showcase a number of Latinx characters and give them juicy, meaty roles. But one of the issues I had working on that show was that's a somewhat common representation of Latinx characters in service industry positions. And so something here that both Eva and I felt very strongly about was having an opportunity to see Latinx characters in the position of the people who are the owners of the hotel. It's a little bit of a twist on the traditional upstairs, downstairs story you see. And this is also just really really true and authentic to Miami, which is my hometown. It's where I grew up. 70% of the population, something like 70% of the population of Miami is Latinx. I think over half of that is Cuban American. So in the creation of this show, we just knew that the majority of these characters would be that, and we would be able to tell their stories, and that would feel authentic to the place.
How did you and Eva find this murder mystery and then try to incorporate it into the overall ambiance of Grand Hotel?
Eva was a fan of the original, of Grand Hotel, which I think is on Netflix now, for people who are catching up to it. She had binge-watched all of it and fallen in love with it and secured the rights to it. So she and her producing partner, Ben Spector, approached me with the material about developing it for an American audience. And we knew because that series existed, and it's wonderful, if you haven't seen it, I think there's room for both adaptations, certainly, and that fans of this current adaptation would also like the original. But it's its own thing. It feels very like Downton Abbey in its time period, its turn of the century, its great costumes. The hotel is this sort of castle-like structure on a cliff. It's very beautiful romance. And I felt strongly like that version was great, but it already existed, and that there was really no need to try and do a very literal remake of that. The audiences are so able to just watch things with subtitles now and appreciate them for what they are. So we really felt like if we were going to do an adaptation, it should be a little bit of a reinvention. So they brought this project to me. I wanted to set it in my hometown of Miami, and that was sort of our jumping off place.
Miami has been a wonderful locale for all sorts of shows over the years in television, including, of course, Miami Vice, one of the great trendsetting shows of the 1980s. With your program, which recreates an era as well as an ambiance, how much creativity did you and everybody have to do shooting in Miami Beach and Miami to recreate that era and to sort of bring about that upstairs, downstairs flavor?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things we talked about in the representation of Miami is how on television and in film, you often see things set in Miami, but they're not often accurate. It's this sort of TV version of Miami. And, this is a hotel set show. Hotels and tourism in general as an industry in Miami are very much a way of life. And so being from there, I really wanted to see if there was a way to make this feel authentic to the place. So one of the first things we were able to do, especially Eva and her producing partner, used their connections in Miami to secure the Fontainebleau Hotel as a location where we filmed the pilot. So everything you see in the pilot was filmed on location at the Fontainebleau. And, as part of a tax incentive, productions don't generally get to film in Florida anymore. There aren't a lot of incentives to film there, but we felt like it was important. The hotel was a character on the show. We really wanted it to be this authentic Miami Beach flavor. If you've ever been to any of those Miami Beach hotels, they're very special. They don't feel corporate or modern. They've got this sort of retro flavor. And so we were very lucky to film at the Fontainebleau, which feels, exactly like the hotel I had in mind when I wrote it. And then the rest of the episodes are all filmed on a soundstage here in Los Angeles, if you can believe it. I know it looks very much like an enormous hotel, but the lobby, the hotel rooms, those tunnels underground, they are all beautiful sets designed by our production designer, Steve Sacklad. And they are designed to match the locations we filmed in the pilot at the Fontainebleau. So if it feels like a place that exists in Miami, it's very purposeful. That is an actual place in Miami that feels sort of iconic. And then, we just really wanted to capture that feeling of Miami, that idea of being on vacation. I think that's one of the central tenets of the show. It's fun. It's joyful. It's juicy. It feels like an escape. And so that was something we were going for, that sense of Miami as a vacation destination where you could put your troubles aside for an hour and just be entertained.
Well, this is Brian Tannen. He is the producer and showrunner of ABC's new hit series, Grand Hotel, whose latest episode you can see tonight on your local ABC station at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Brian joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour, live exclusive on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Alba with you live from Newhaven, New York, where it's currently 73 degrees at the 76 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Brian, don't be shy. Make the phone call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. For people who are yet to see the show, give us a sort of an update on the plot, at least the main plot of the show and how it's developing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the show follows the last family-owned hotel in Miami Beach, this hotel called the Riviera Grand, which is it's not a real hotel. It's a fictional hotel, but it's as portrayed, like I said, by the Fontainebleau in Miami Beach. And we follow the Mendoza family who owns the hotel and the staff who work there. And in sort of an upstairs downstairs story, and then there's also this mystery. A young woman who worked as a chef named Sky went missing during a hurricane in the first episode, and at the end of that episode, we learn that her brother has insinuated himself amongst the staff, and he is trying to find out what happened to her, where she's gone missing, has something nefarious happened to her. So Danny, who is a waiter at the hotel, is really there for an ulterior motive, which is to find out what happened to his sister. And over the course of the season, he grows closer to the hotel daughter's owner, Alicia Mendoza, played by Denise Tonks. And as they're growing closer in their romance, he's also learning things about her family, of course, creating all sorts of problems as to their possible involvement in his sister's disappearance.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the cast you have for this series. It's a really, really good cast, very strong, and a lot of people, familiar faces, and some faces people are getting to know pretty quick.
Yes, so we're just really fortunate with our cast. I think something 9 out of our 11 series regulars are Latinx or African American, which is something you don't necessarily see very often on broadcast television. And at the top of that is our incredible lead actor, Demian Bichir. For those who are not familiar with Demian, he's an Oscar-nominated actor. He plays Santiago Mendoza, who is the owner of the hotel, and he is married to Gigi, who is played by Rosalind Sanchez, who I've worked with in the past and is just an incredible actress. So between those two, as the owners of the hotel, we're off to an amazing start, and they bring such gravitas and depth and just wonderful sexiness and talent to the roles. And then we've just got a slew of wonderful young actors in various roles as well. Brian Craig plays Javi, sort of a black sheep of the family, brother. Some people may know him from General Hospital. He's incredible in this role. And his sister, the daughter, comes home from her time in business school and thought she'd be taking over the hotel, Alicia. She's sort of our way into the show. She's very pure, and she wants to make everything go smoothly. And she's very idealistic. And she's played by Denise Tonks, who's just a wonderful young actress. Her love interest is Danny, played by Lincoln Yunes, who's an actor who comes to us from Australia. His American accent is excellent, actually. Most people are very surprised when they hear him speak in his natural Australian. But I think this is his first American gig, and he does an amazing job at it. And Wendy Raquel Robinson plays Mrs. P. She's just a comedy vet. She's incredible, and she has an opportunity to really show dramatic chops in this as well. She has a mixture of comedy and drama on this show. She plays the sort of a boss lady, a senior manager at the hotel. Every character is so incredibly talented and wonderful to work with on this show. Annie Winters is a young actress who's sort of blowing up in Zach and Mia and 13 Reasons Why. She plays Ingrid, who's sort of a housekeeper who is up to no good and who would probably rather be anything other than a housekeeper. I mean, there's just a slew of so many talented actors on this. It's a real pleasure working with everybody.
I had the opportunity, by the way, Brian, to meet Dami and Wendy. He did a great show for FX called The Bridge, which ran two seasons. He's a wonderful actor. I did see that Oscar-nominated performance called A Better Life. If you have not seen that film, do. He deserved that Oscar nomination. Some of the things should have gotten it, by the way, the win for that film. It's one of the best performances you will see anyone give in any language, by the way, in recent years. If you have not seen A Better Life, it's a really tremendous film, and he is great in it. Deserved that Oscar nomination. He was also very good in The Bridge. I thought he should have gotten an Emmy nomination for his work there. That's when I had a chance to meet him. Please say hi to him for me. And I'm thrilled that he now has a very unique, probably in terms of stature, a very unique role. Because in A Better Life, he plays an immigrant looking for a better life in the United States. In The Bridge, he played a police detective trying to solve a mystery on both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border. And now here he is sort of a patriarch role, which I think is a kind of fun thing.
Yeah, that's one of the remarkable things in working in this sort of heavily led by Latinx actor show. You see a lot on the reels of these incredibly talented actors that many of the roles that are offered to Latinx actors are related to service industry positions, drugs, criminals. There's just a lack of roles for things that are something other than that. So I think audiences are hungry for just better representation, and you have such actors. To have someone like Rosalind Sanchez go from playing a housekeeper in Devious Maids to the owner of the hotel in this, it really just allows her to flex her chops and show how incredibly fabulous she is. Same with Semyon. Yes.
I was saying, Brian, that I followed Rosalind's career for many, many years, ever since she was in a show called Fame LA, which was a one-season syndicated series, because she's also a terrific actress, singer, dancer, a triple threat. And, of course, many people know her from Without a Trace and Devious Maids, which we covered on this program when that show was running on Lifetime. And, again, here's something different for her to play. So for fans of hers for a long, long time, this is a very unique role she's got.
Absolutely, for sure. I mean, I think another thing that's interesting, too, is both Rosalind and Demian, they speak English with accents. Demian is Mexican-American, and Rosalind is Puerto Rican. And sometimes leading roles on TV shows are not offered to actors who have accents, and that didn't even cross our minds with respect to this. These are amazing actors who can do so much. And in the case of Grand Hotel, which is set in Miami Beach, it's just true to the place. Everyone I knew growing up, so many people speak English and Spanglish, and there's just so much diversity within the city that it was a breath of fresh air to have that represented on screen.
With that large cast, with the ambitious plot line, with the production values, when did you and Eva know that this is going to work? When did you get a sense that the chemistry is going to gel here? We think this is a winner. We think this is going to do great for ABC. We think the fans are going to respond, and all that. Did you seem to get that from the beginning, or did it take a while into the actual physical production and filming this? Is it, okay, this is we think we got a winner here?
I think it depends on who you ask that question to. Eva Longoria while we were filming the pilot. She said, "You better start getting ready your writer's room, and you better start getting ready your plots, because she felt very confident that this was going to work. I have much more of a neurotic writer's brain, and I was just did not want to count any chickens before they hatched, but." Seeing the actors work and in the space, we knew that we had something special. We knew that we had something that was working. And, you know, we had that template of the original Grand Hotel, which had worked in Spain. I believe there was an adaptation in Mexico and also Egypt. So it's a story that people have loved in, you know, all sorts of countries. So we felt like we really had a good shot with this right from the start.
Grand Hotel, latest episode tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on ABC. And we've got the producer and showrunner of the program, Brian Tanner, with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Got a few more minutes with him before we wrap things up for today's episode. So if you have a question or comment, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple0418. Coming Friday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, we hope to have, we've been trying to do this the last two Fridays, but we think we're going to do it this time, we will have the costume designer behind such new shows as the Netflix hit, Dead to Me, and that is Trace Steele. So be sure to be with us. We think Trace is finally going to be on the program. Third time a charmer. Brian, I understand you've got a number of other projects you're working on. Can you tell us about them?
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, I come from a world of soapy shows. It's what I like to work on. I worked on Desperate Housewives and Grey's Anatomy and Ugly Betty and Devious Maids before Grand Hotel. So I tend to like shows that straddle that line between drama and soap and a little bit of comedy as well. I'm also have worked on Netflix show Atypical, which is a sort of a dramedy, a half-hour dramedy. And right now I'm working on the Disney Plus adaptation, TV adaptation of the film Love, Simon, which if people saw that film, it's about a gay teenager who's struggling to come out, a very personal story. And we're doing a 10-episode TV adaptation of that for Disney Plus, which is the project I'm working on right now, and crossing my fingers and hoping we continue these great ratings for Grand Hotel and get a chance to come back and do another season of that for everybody.
A lot of people in photo love Simon. Remember that? I think that's the one that Greg Berlanti was involved with as
yes,
writer director.
He was the director of the film. The writers were actually Isaac Apteker and Elizabeth Berger, who in this conflagration of how everyone is wearing multiple hats these days, they are also the showrunners of a little TV show called This Is Us. So they are the creators of this as well, the Love, Simon adaptation. And we're working on that to bring that to you in the next year or so.
Well, I'll say I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a major, major coup for Disney Plus. And I really congratulate them for doing that. I still saw some clips of that film. It was a wonderful movie. And Greg Berlanti is like the Aaron Spelling right now of television. Was like, what is that, 19 shows on all over the place? You know, there may not be a broadcaster cable or stream or direct-to-you service by smart set devices that doesn't have a Greg Berlanti show. The man is playing an empire. The new Cecily DeMille or Aaron Spelling of our – is Aaron Spelling, because you do a lot of shows that have a soapy kind of style to it or have a feel to it, are people like Aaron Spelling or Greg Berlanti, people like that, an influence on you and your work?
You know, I have loved many of their shows. I've never had the opportunity to work actually with either of them, which is a little bit surprising. Though I've worked with Mark Cherry twice and Sylvia Orta created Ugly Betty and, you know, these various other soapy hits. You know, absolutely. I love sort of, you know, watching television as a kid and sort of an old-fashioned soap. I think Grand Hotel, it's a little bit more of a modern version of some of those, where it has some of the flavor of like an old-school soap, that kind of wealth and wish fulfillment and juicy plot twists and turns. But it also has a little bit more of a contemporary sensibility. So, yeah, absolutely, take influences from everywhere.
Yeah. And you mentioned Uncle Betty. By the way, if you have not seen the Telemundo program, Betty and Y, which is going a few more weeks on the air, 9 o'clock, see it. It's a marvelous show. I think they've really gotten the Ugly Betty thing down, and the woman who plays Ugly Betty is magnificent. And they do the show out of both New York and Miami. If ABC gives you a second season, you and Eva a second season, how do you both want to expand the story of Grand Hotel?
I mean, I've just fallen so in love with these actors and all their roles. I just can't wait to see what everybody's up to next. We've got some interesting, without revealing too much, we've got some interesting cliffhangers at the end of the year that we'd love to kind of come back and fully explore. I would tell viewers that we do give them an answer to the central mystery of this season of what happened to Skye and where she went. And we do give our character, Danny, an answer, though in typical TV form, it's an answer that may introduce some new questions and just create more pathways to go down. I also just love seeing, you know, stories of dysfunctional family and how they operate. And this is certainly a wonderful dysfunctional blended family with Demian Bashir and Rosalind Sanchez and these wonderful young actors and all those roles. So I'm excited to continue telling those kind of stories as well.
Damian Bashir, Rosalind Sanchez, wonderful cast on Grand Hotel, the latest episode you can catch tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on ABC. Check your logins to the ABC station in your area. For more details about the program online, go to abc.com or abc.go.com. Either way, it gets you there. Again, Grand Hotel, the latest episode tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And don't forget, ABC Summer Fun and Games continues on Wednesday with the new revivals of Pressure Lock, Card Sharks, and Match Game, which is done here in New York. And by the way, if you have not heard our exclusive interviews with Jack Martin, the executive producer of Card Sharks, and John Quinn from Pressure Lock, you can go to our website, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and hear them. I'm thrilled, by the way, both are number one in their time period. Part of the expanded ABC Summer Fun and Games, Sunday nights, Wednesday and Thursday night, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Brian Cannon, producer, showrunner of Grand Hotel, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on how the show is going so far. Hopefully, first of many, many seasons to come. And we'd love to have back to talk about your other projects as well.
Oh, thank you so much. What a pleasure talking to you.
Same here, Brian. All the greatest. Take care. Have a great rest of your run.
Thank you so much.
Brian Cannon, producer showrunner of Grand Hotel, joining us live from Los Angeles. Thank you to all of our guests for being here and all of you for listening. Again, we hope to have Trey Steele, the costume designer behind such shows as Netflix's Dead to Me and the new stars hit Now Apocalypse on our show finally at last on Friday. And if you missed our classic trivia question of the week, let's give it to you one more time. Who played McKeever on McKeever and the Colonel back in 1962 on NBC? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you missed the question a moment ago, find it on Facebook or on Twitter tomorrow morning. If you came in on today's show late, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget to check out the podcast version, available 24/7 at iTunes, at Apple TV, the Spreaker podcast app, and www.iHeartRadio.com. Let me know our guests today. What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? We'd love to hear. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Enclose your name and where you're emailing from. That's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week, as well as our regular feature show. You know, and remember, you can also find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and read my Department of Televised columns. They're available 24/7 at www.mediavillage.com, www.mediavillage.com. However you get involved with us, we appreciate it because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, either those of Block Talk Radio Speaker and IR Radio. At BTR, production associate is Candace Williams. NETO's Block Talk Radio General Manager, Jay Sonnenberg, is executive content producer, and the co-founders are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow, we'll be televised brought to you by Audible.com, an Amazon company and private development partner of the annual New York Television Festival. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a trio of great audiobooks, including two Audible originals and one on trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll be back here on Friday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this week, please make it safe and make it great. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.